where Isaiah sees the Lord high and lifted up. And then God says, who will go for us? Who will I send? And Isaiah says, I will go, Lord, I will go. Does anyone need an extra? I have an extra. That's great, perfect. We do have a handout. If you need more, there's some in the back. Does anyone need a handout as we ever start our studies? Okay, it looks like everyone got one. Good. But that hymn is talking about going, and especially, remember that what Isaiah, he was given a difficult calling, but it was a gracious calling by God, but he was called to go to God's people Israel. And at a time when Israel was at a big low spiritually, you know, our country, our world is at a big low spiritually. And I don't think we're at the bottom of the barrel yet, but sadly we see the darkness around us. So tonight we want to consider why. Why do we as Christians, why do Christians share the gospel? And there's a lot of reasons. And we want to briefly look at 10 tonight. And you say, 10? Well, we'll get through as many as we can. If we need to, we'll move it into our next time together. But let's take our Bibles tonight. Let's go to Matthew 28. We have been looking at personal evangelism over the last couple Sunday nights after our missions conference ended. And we've been looking at believing the gospel, sharing the gospel. And we took one night together to talk about why we need the gospel. And we looked at the reality of our sin. We are sinners. We are condemned because of our sin and our sin nature. We are lost and we need salvation from God. The only way we could be saved from our sin is through Jesus Christ. And then we looked at another reason why we need the gospel is because of God's holiness. Because God is holy and he demands justice. He demands judgment on sin. Sin might seem at times in our world right now that people get away with sin, and corruption continues, and doesn't seem there's any consequences, but there is going to be a reckoning day for all sin, when the judge of all the earth will judge all sin equally, justly, righteously, and we need God's salvation, we need the gospel, the good news of Jesus, because we are under the holy wrath of God, because God is holy, he never changes, and we thank God that he's holy. Thank God that he's different than his creation. He's different than his fallen creation. He is without sin, and he also is merciful. And he is the only one, as we looked even this morning, only a holy God could save us, could give justification to sinners. And so tonight, we want to just, as we continue this focus, we want to see why Christians share the gospel. And as I didn't know how this was going to go, and then this afternoon, I was working on it some more, and just a list was coming as I was going through scripture. 10 reasons why. Now, there's probably more. This is not exhaustive. And within some of these, I'm sure I could probably have worded it better. But why do Christians share the gospel? Well, I was talking to Caleb about this right before we came. He's like, well, Jesus told us to. And that really is, at the bottom line, right away, this is why we share the gospel, because Christ told us to. So let's go to Matthew. Let's start tonight by going to Matthew 28. And why do we share the gospel? Well, let's read this passage, and then we're going to also look at chapter 22, which is probably review for you if you've been attending Open Door for any matter of time, but we'll look at the two greatest commandments and how sharing the gospel falls into both this great commission. But look at chapter 28. We'll read the text. We'll have a word of prayer as we come to God's word, and then we will start digging. But along the way, please share comments or other passages of scripture that jump out to you that we can record as well. And Jesus came and said to them, these are to the disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we come to your word tonight, and as we walk through scripture, we walk through the New Testament, and we see reasons why we must share the gospel. I pray that we wouldn't just have a head knowledge of why we must share the gospel, but God, I pray that this would impact our hearts. It would fuel us even greater with a greater desire to want to tell the good news to others. We pray, Lord, that you'll give us opportunities this week, maybe even tomorrow, as we go into a broken world, that we can share the gospel and we can glorify you and obey your calling to us. We pray that you'd help the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, our studying your word tonight, to be pleasing to you. Pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why do Christians share the gospel? Well, I hope my reasons aren't too longly worded, but first of all, because Christians obey Christ's commands, or the Great Commission, as a significant part of obeying God's two greatest commandments. I was thinking of this afternoon. This command to go and make disciples is really falls under that umbrella of loving God with our heart, soul, mind, and spirit, and loving our neighbor as ourself, and sharing with them the good news of God's love. So we go because Christ has commanded us. The command here is go and make disciples, evangelize. And notice it's not just evangelize, but it's make disciples, teaching these new believers how to live for God and how to apply Christ's commands to their life. Let's go back to Matthew 22. And again, I won't dwell too long on each of these, but before we move on, we'd like to hear your thoughts or your comments on these reasons why we share the gospel. But look at Matthew 22. And this might seem like, what does this have to do with the gospel? Matthew 28 is a great commission. Well, look at verse 34. We come to this quite often as we think of our calling, our purpose here at Open Door. But verse 34, but when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked Jesus a question to test him. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands depend all the law and the prophets. A big part of us sharing the gospel is loving others as God has called us to love them. And sometimes that means sharing the gospel with the unlovable. Sharing the gospel with those who do not love us, but we are called by God to love them and tell them and show them Christ. Sometimes that's within our own family. Sometimes that's at work. Sometimes that's in our neighborhood. Sometimes that's just someone who cut us off in traffic, and we have an opportunity to happen to park in the same spot next to him. No, however that works. But, we are called to go and share the good news of Christ. I was thinking of this blueprint that we've come to and often, and why do we exist as a Christian? Why do we exist as a church? It's for the glory of God. And how do we live for the glory of God? We do so by loving God and loving others. And we need God's grace to be able to help us know what it means to love God and how to live for his glory and what it means to love others. Really, the Ten Commandments all fall on these two commands. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and spirit, and love your neighbor as yourself. And you see there that gospel advancement is a significant part of the church's mission. We are called to submit to the Word of God. That is our foundation. And we are called to have biblical worship, worship that is based on Scripture, and that worship flows into discipleship. As we are growing in our love for Christ, and we go and are called to go and make disciples by advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ. All this is part of the mission of the church. So, why Christians share the gospel? Why do we share the gospel? Because we obey Christ's commands. And Christ's command in the Great Commission is go and make disciples, teach them to observe his commands, but also, this falls also, I believe, under the umbrella of loving God and loving others as he's called us to. So, thoughts? Yes, comments? Yes, Ben.
I was just thinking about the foundation given there in Matthew 28:18.
Hmm. Hmm. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And Ben was just saying, you know, as we share the gospel, the foundation for us going is because Jesus has all authority. He has all power. He has all right. He has the power as the King of Kings to authorize us to go and be his ambassadors. And so when we're going, we're not saying, we're not trying to sell a vacuum cleaner. We're not going and trying to make a sale. We're going to just follow the commands of our King, trusting that he's going to do the work, but he's called us to be his ambassadors. So yeah, that's a great point. Yes. You know, I think of that in the Old Testament, yeah.
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest things for me is having a burden first for souls.
That is. Yep.
Hmm. I've worked with some people like that, that they would actually feel and have that in their heart to see people come to Christ. Maybe that difference points.
Yeah. You know, if we really love God as he's called us to, and we love others, we're going to be burdened. There's going to be a burden for the lost. And that's one of the benefits, or I'd say one of the blessings of that. And we'll, if we get down to number 10 tonight, we'll talk about some of that. But that's it. It's not, it's we want to glorify God and live for his glory. But loving him and loving others involves having a burden for the lost and learning to love those that are lost. You know, when you truly love someone, even if they don't love you back, you think differently about them. When you see them, when you feel them hurting you, them doing mean things to you, you realize that they're all they're doing is responding as a slave of sin does. And it should cause us to have a burden. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's too early to say one more thing. Yeah, I can't do that now. It's important. It's important. Striving for peace. And we want them to have peace, peace with God. Let's go on to the second thought. And again, there's a number of these here. And again, these aren't exhaustive, but let's go to Acts chapter 1. Some of these are familiar, and hopefully these are passages that come to your mind as we think about sharing the gospel. But another reason that we share the gospel is because sharing the gospel through personal evangelism is part of our new identity as Christians and our mission as Christ witnesses. We are his witnesses. We are witnesses of what Christ has done in our life. And we tell others what he has done. Let's go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Jesus says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." This word witness, it's the word martyr in the Greek, but it's a judicial term. If you were a witness as a court, remember, how many of you have had to serve a witness before in court? I've had to do it once, and it was just, you know, you see it on TV, it's never like it is on TV, by the way. It's, you know, it's so different, and it goes so much differently. But, you know, just realizing the reality that you are going to testify against this person, and you better have your facts right. And even in our courts today, as corrupt as some of them have come, they still say, "Hold up your right hand. Do you swear that you'll tell the truth and nothing but the truth? So help you God." They still say that. Even the atheists do. And I think that goes back to our country being founded on biblical principles. But what a weight. And yet here Christ says, "You will be my testifiers of the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life through faith in Jesus." And so why do we share the gospel? Because this is our identity. We are called to go and be witnesses. And notice the ripple effect. In the early church, they were to be witnesses first in Jerusalem, in their home, in their hometown, home city. And then God says, "It's not going to stay here. You'll see how it works." The church didn't know how it was going to happen, but it would go out to the outskirts of Jerusalem and then to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And thank God for that. Thank God there were faithful Christians who witnessed the gospel, because we are benefactors of it. The gospel has come, however God worked that out through history, to enter into our lives so that we'd believe. And if people had said, "No, I just don't want to share the gospel, someone else will do it," it's amazing how God works in his plan. So we are called to be his witnesses. So a second reason is because we are witnesses of Christ. We're called to be witnesses, and that's our identity. It's a command, but it's just who we are. We are Christians. We follow Christ, and we tell others about him. Right. Let's go on to number 3. Another reason why Christians share the gospel is because of the exclusivity of Christ Jesus for salvation. There is no one else who can save from sin. It's but Jesus. Let's go to John chapter 14. And actually, before you turn there, we're in Acts. Let's go to Acts 4:12. I look at here, I'm flipping you back and forth. Just go to Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Look at the testimony of these apostles as they are, for the first time, themselves testifying as witnesses before the Sanhedrin. The same court or the same council that condemned Jesus to death. Now they're in front of these same individuals. And notice in verse 7, when they had set them in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" There was a miracle that Peter was able to do, and then people came to Christ through it. And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, remember Jesus said, "When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses." He's filled with the Spirit, and he said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And here's the verse. There is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Moses can't save you. The high priest can't save you. Your Jewish identity can't save you. Only Christ Jesus can save. This is why we share the good news. Because there's no other way but Christ. John 14:6. I think we know this one well. John 14:6. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through who? Me. He couldn't make it any clearer. No one can come to the Father, be standing before the Father uncondemned except through Jesus. This is a message that the world needs to hear. Let's turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to look to a number of passages as we go through this, but 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 1. Now, at first it seems you just talk about prayer, but look where the prayer focus goes. Because Jesus Christ is the only one who can save. That's why we share the gospel. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercession, and thanksgivings, these are all different aspects of prayer, be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly, dignified in every way. This is good. It is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this reason, I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Why was Paul appointed to share the gospel with the Gentiles? Because there's only one mediator between God and men. There's only one way to God. There's only one way to be right with our Creator, to be freed from condemnation, and it is through Jesus Christ, who is the only mediator. This is a powerful passage to take if you have a friend who is a Roman Catholic, because their mediator, whether they realize it or not, is that priest. That's what they're resting in, or the Pope. But we say, no, our mediator is Christ. We pray straight to Christ. We confess our sin to Christ, and he forgives our sin through his blood. And a priest cannot do that for you, and he should not try to. But this is where we land as Christians, because he's the only way to salvation. He's the only mediator. What does a mediator do? He reconciles two parties that are at odds. And we are at odds with God the minute we come into this world, right? Our sin, we are separated from him. Even like that bridge track shows, there is a mighty gulf, infinite gulf between us and God because of our sin. And Christ bridges it with the cross, with his blood. And he binds hand in hand together, and we are brought through him to the Father. So that's why we share the good news, because he's the only way. He's the only way to eternal life. Any thoughts before we move on? Yeah, Tom. Even in the Old Testament, there was a realization that there was a separation between God and man, and we needed help. Only we could have a deliverer, and Christ is that promised deliverer who would come, the Messiah. So praise God for that. Let's look at Romans chapter 1. You say, Pastor Sam, aren't you in Romans enough? I know. But Romans is full of gospel truths and why we are Christians sharing the gospel. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Another reason why Christians share the gospel is because only the gospel of Jesus Christ has the power to save sinners from sin's condemnation. Chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why, Paul? For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. So Paul says, I'm excited to share the gospel. I'm not ashamed of it. And we know Paul's not ashamed for it because he's in prison many times as he's writing these letters for the sake of the gospel. He could say, okay, I'll stop preaching the gospel, or I'll change my tune a little bit, and then I'll stay out of prison. Nope, I'm going to keep preaching the gospel. I'm not ashamed of it because it is the power of God. That goes back to even all authority has been given to Christ. And we go, and his power works through his gospel as we share it. And that's why we share the gospel. It's the only way that people can be saved. It alone has the power. And what is the gospel? Christ died for our sins on the cross. He was buried. He rose again the third day. If you put your faith and trust in him, he'll forgive you forever for all your sin. And it's really that straightforward. I'm so thankful that it's not one of these messages that, you know, we share with people where, oh, well, hold on, how much time do you have? And sometimes we do want to have more time, I get it. But it's not, well, it's going to take me about 10 sessions to meet with you, and then after that, we'll finally get into the elementary part of the gospel. I'm so thankful that God made it so clear, and yet we study it, and we learn it, and we digest it, and we meditate on it more, and we see how much of this gospel truth impacts every facet of our lives as Christians. And we get more excited about sharing the good news with others. But it's a straightforward message, and it's the power of God. Yes, Tom. We feel like we have to do, there has to be something I can do though, right? Isn't there something I can do? Or it sounds too good to be true many times. Is God really that good? Yes. And that really, the simplicity of the gospel is one of the biggest stumbling blocks. And Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians, right? It's foolishness to the Greeks to think that your Savior died. And it's a stumbling block to the Jews. Our Messiah would not die, but he rose again. But you're right. It's the simplicity many times is so hard, especially for people who are very steeped in science or in different philosophies of the day. But all these others say something different. You're right. They do. But this is what's true. Yeah, Tom. I think when Jesus, remember when that child came to Jesus and the disciples were arguing over, well, the child didn't come, but the disciples were arguing over who's the greatest. You know, they had those moments in the flesh like we do. Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Okay, Jesus will be, but who's going to be second? You know, and they're having all this talk and you're just like, ugh. But Jesus just has a little child come over, probably 2, 3, very trusting, picks him up, this little child, and says, unless you have faith like a child, unless you come to me like a child, you won't be in the kingdom. The greatest of you must be the least. And I think that childlike faith, just, I'm going to believe what God says. And if it is simple, I'm going to believe it. Though, the more we understand it, it's really not simple, but it seems so simple to what the world says today. Thank God for his grace. And it's powerful. Simple, straightforward, but supernatural power. Let's go on to another reason. Revelation, turn to the very end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 20. Why do Christians share the gospel? Because hell is real. And sadly is adding to its numbers every moment. And the lake of fire is a real future for those who never believe in Christ for salvation. Well, let's look at Revelation 20. This is where we see the final judgment of all sin. Verse 11, then John says he saw a vision. I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. And from his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. By dead, this is not just physically dead, but spiritually dead. Standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. I want to stop there real quick. What they had done. Does it sound like works saved them? No. Paul even says in Romans chapter 2 and 3, you will be judged by your works. But then he goes on to say, whether you put your faith in Christ or whether you keep following your own way. So did these people put their faith and trust? Did they repent of their sin? No, they did not, sadly. Then, verse 14, death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And forever, that's where they will be. Why do we share the gospel as Christians? Because we don't want people to go to hell. And we believe God's word is true. And there is an eternal punishment in the lake of fire. Many churches today, calling themselves churches, have denied this and said, no, God is a God of love. No, he's a holy God. And he is a God of love, and he's a God of righteous love. And he loves what is right, and he hates what is wrong. And there is a judgment. Thank God that he punishes sin. And yet, we do not want anyone that we meet or know of to go there. So we go and share the gospel because hell is real. And people need to be saved from condemnation of sin. Let's move on to number 6. Why do we share the gospel? Because of the mutual or shared necessity of both God's word, his special revelation, and God's witness messengers for salvation. I'll share what I mean by this. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Back to Romans. Romans chapter 10. God does the work, but he does the work through soul winning. We look at that, and it just boggles our minds how God, before the foundation of the world, he chose people unto salvation, and he chose people to be converted in Christ, and yet he uses Christians, and now in this age, he uses his church to reach those to be saved. We go because it's part of God's eternal plan for the foundations of the world. Romans chapter 10, we'll be getting here eventually, not too far away, hopefully, in Romans. Look at verse 9. Hopefully this is a familiar passage to us. It says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified. With the mouth one confesses is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What a promise. But then Paul gets very practical. How then will they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he's heard from us? So faith cometh from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So, people need to hear the gospel. They need to be presented, confronted with their need for the gospel, and that is why, one of the major reasons why the church is still here. We are called to be light. Jesus didn't save us just to give us a home in heaven and his eternal kingdom. He did that. But he also saved us to be his ambassadors, to be his witnesses right now. So why do we share the gospel? Because God is using us in his amazing sovereign plan of election and conversion. I don't know if I can say it simpler than that. He's using his church. Do we understand how God always works in each person's life? No, but we know that if we share the gospel, he will work in his perfect way. We don't know who God has chosen to salvation or not, but that's for God. We are called to share the gospel with every creature. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And Christ promises to be with us. So this is another reason why we go, because it is part of God's perfect plan in converting sinners to salvation. Thank God someone did that for us. You remember who led you to Christ? Or different people prodding you in your life, pointing you to Christ? For me, God used a number of factors, being blessed to be able to be raised in a Christian home, hearing the gospel in Sunday school, but never really appropriating it to my life And then God used a speaker, one, I think it was even a Wednesday night, and he was preaching at evangelistic services, I think, or missionary meetings, preaching on the reality of heaven, the reality of hell. I remember going home that night and asking my dad, because I was a little, he had been watching me when he was talking about hell and the reality of it. And I just looked at my dad and I said, "Dad, I'm going to heaven, right?" You're going to say yes, right? I'm so thankful my dad said, "Well, that's a decision that you need to make. Are you going to heaven or hell?" And I remember my dad going through the gospel once more and it finally clicking that I needed to personally repent of my sin, put my faith and trust in Christ and believe. So I'm thankful that my dad, through God, was able to lead me to Christ at that moment. But God used other people along the way. I'm sure that you have different people that you know, there should be someone who can find the gospel. Or maybe it was a tract. It was someone, somewhere, who printed something. Somehow you came in contact with the Word of God. Maybe it was you just falling on your knees before God at home one day or in your car and just saying, "God, I need to be saved." But somehow, somewhere, a radio station, someone was sharing the good news of Jesus. And you believed. That's the exciting part. We don't know who is going to hear the message sometimes when we share it. But we go because it's part of God's plan for salvation. Okay. Let's move on. We might not get through all of these, but that's okay, because we'll move into next week. Let's look at number 7. Well, this kind of goes hand in hand, so this might be 6.5. But let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. This is just another good passage for this. As we go and share the good news of Christ, you never know how people are going to respond. Maybe sometimes we think we know, and maybe they do respond the way we thought. But either way, when we share the gospel, we are God's aroma. We are a fragrance of the good news, and to some, it is a sweet fragrance. To others, it is a detestable fragrance, but we go anyway. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and look at verse 15. "For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance of death from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life." I love how Paul says as he considers how when we share the good news, we don't know how it's going to be received. But we know for one person, it's going to be condemning them in their sin. And they're going to keep rejecting it. To others, they're going to believe and be saved. And he says, who is sufficient for these things? He says, we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. So we can't control how people respond, but we go and share. And we are an aroma, a fragrance to God, giving him praise, but also, as we share the good news, there are those who are going to love this and receive it and believe it, and there are others who are going to detest it and reject it, but God's doing the saving, and Paul just says, oh, I'm just going to keep preaching the gospel. I can't even comprehend how God does this amazing work. How one person in the same auditorium or the same time can hear the same message and believe it, and another person reject it. How does that work? And Paul said, I'm just going to give God praise. I'm going to give God praise and keep sharing the good news. So this kind of goes with that, but why do we share the gospel? Because personal Christian evangelism is included in God's sovereign plan for the election and conversion of sinners unto salvation. And there is a shared necessity between God's special revelation in his word and the conversion of sinners. You know, we might get through this list yet. Let's look at number eight. Let's go, we're in 2 Corinthians, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We won't read this entire passage probably, but this is a good passage to go to. We hinted at this before, in the simplicity of the gospel. Why do Christians share the gospel? Because the gospel is the wisdom of God unto salvation, a wisdom that the world cannot create or manufacture. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the word of the cross, that's another word for saying the gospel. The word of the cross is folly. It's foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and a folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. What's Paul saying here? Just like what he said in Aroma, to some it is a stumbling block and foolishness, but to others they receive it, and it is to them, it becomes the power of God and the wisdom of God as they put their faith and trust in Christ. The gospel trumps, it sets apart all the wisdom of the world and tears it down because it is so straightforward and simple, a message the world would never have expected. This is how we can be saved from sin? You mean I don't have to kill 1,000 bulls and goats? No, it wouldn't do any good because it's Christ's blood that saves you. But I don't need to go to these idols and have all these idols in my home and give all this stuff and money to them. That won't save me. No, you can't save yourself. Only Jesus can save you. And he died in your place. What God would do that, the Greeks would say. What God would do that? When you talk about the incarnation of Christ, that's foolishness to them because man is always evil. God couldn't come and become man and or be man and be sinless, but that's what happened. They can't get over that. The Jews, what, he would die for the Gentiles? I can't have that. Stumbling block, foolishness, but to those that are being called, those who are called by God to salvation, Jews and Gentiles, they believe. Paul knew this in his own life. He had rejected it for so long, it was a stumbling block to him and an offense to him until God changed his heart. Then he embraced it. And it's the power of God to salvation now for Paul. So why do we share the gospel? Because it is the wisdom of God unto salvation. It's not man's wisdom. It's not earthly wisdom. We share the gospel because it's the wisdom that our world needs to hear. Another reason, number 9, why do we share the gospel? Because the Christian's purpose is to point people to the glory of God and to his gospel for salvation. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. We're in 1 Corinthians. Save time. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Both of these are good. But let's go to 1 Corinthians 10. Of course they're good. It's God's word, but you know what I mean. While we're here, let's stay in 1 Corinthians. This is an interesting passage. One, we know verse 31 really well, but if we follow it in its own way, it really talks about the gospel. 1 Corinthians 10:31, let's read down to verse 1 of chapter 11. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Is Paul saying, I tell people what they want to hear? No. But he goes out of his way to share the good news, but to not do it in such a way where he is needlessly offending people. And this is right on the tail end of, you know, idolatry and meat offered idols and all those kind of things that he's going to be talking about. But here he says, everything I do, I have the focus of I want to lead people to Christ. Is basically what Paul's saying. So do all to the glory of God. Why do all to the glory of God? Because I want people to see that there's a difference in me and I want them to see the beauty of Jesus and be saved. Very interesting when you read that in the context of do all things to the glory of God. So why? Because our purpose as Christians is to point people to the glory of God. Matthew 5:14, actually it's not through verse 14, but I think it's through verse 18. Let's turn to Matthew 5:14. This is where we are called to be salt and light. This is even before Christ goes to the cross, but he's talking to those who desire to follow him. Matthew chapter 5, actually it should be verse 13 through 16. So sorry about that. But it says, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Salt in that day was a preserving agent. It, of course, was for taste as well. It was even a commodity. God says, you are to leave a good impact on the world. Not that the world's always going to love you, but you need to be salt. You need to be having an impact for good in the world. Salt, and then verse 14, light. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. What happens if you light a candle and put it under a basket? Two things could happen. It could catch on fire, right? But in this sense, it's going to be smothered. It's going to be put out. But on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Back in the day, they didn't have these LEDs, right? You had one lamp, and you put it up on a stand, and you let it fill the whole room. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. How do people give glory to God when they see the good works of his church? The ultimate way they give glory to God is by believing in Jesus, being saved, living for his glory, realizing there's a difference in these people. And then lastly, number 10. I think we can go like 3 minutes over. Is that okay? I think we can get this in. 3 minutes, maybe I shouldn't have said three, but 3 to 5. Number 10. Why do Christians share the gospel? Because sharing the gospel deepens the Christian's walk with God and is an integral part of a spiritually healthy church that is driven to be ambassadors for Christ because of God's compelling love. 2 Corinthians 5, we don't need to turn there, but that's where the Apostle Paul says, the love of Christ constrains me or compels me. And because we believe that Jesus died and rose again, we believe that we are called to be his ambassadors for Christ. God's love compels us to go and share the gospel. But as we share the gospel, we grow in our love for God. We grow in our walk with him. And what are some highlights? What are some things that we grow in? We grow in spiritual maturity. Let's turn back to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. If we don't get to all these passages tonight, that's okay. You can look them up later. But 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm getting there. Verses 6 through 11. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourselves for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promises for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, for to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. We see here that Paul is encouraging Timothy, and notice how at its core it's centered around the gospel. Jesus Christ is Savior of all people. He has offered salvation to all, and especially those who believe he becomes their Savior. But a gospel-centered mindset, sharing the gospel, helps us focus on what is true and not falling into all these myths and this silliness and this foolishness that is floating around in our world today. In Hebrews chapter 5, I don't need to turn there, but Hebrews 5, the author here calls out the church and says, this church that he was writing to, these believers, you should be teachers, you should be leaders now, but you're babes in Christ. You should be eating meat, but you're eating milk because you're not growing in your walk with Christ. One of the greatest ways that we grow in our walk with Christ is by telling people about him and winning people to Christ for the glory of God. It also helps with our prayer life. We looked at 2 Timothy 2 already for prayer. Let's go to Romans 9. I think Tom and Jack were referencing this before, but Romans chapter 9. When we are sharing the gospel, our prayer life just blows up upper proportion, or it ought to. Because we're praying for souls. We're praying for the loved ones that we want to see coming to Christ. And we grow in our love for the lost. Paul is very hard sometimes in his discussion with the Jewish people. He doesn't give any slack, but it's not because he doesn't love them. It's because he does love them, that he's engaging them with what is true versus what they believe is true. And look at chapter 9, verse 1. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. They are Israelites. He goes on to talk about that. Jump down to chapter 10 as he sums up this and he moves into the next section. Chapter 10, verse 1. Brothers, my heart's desire, 10, verse 1. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. What is your heart and burden for Middletown? What is your heart and burden for your family? There's a lot of things we can burden for. Good education, wanting good jobs one day when they grow up, good families. But at the core, it must be that they be saved. One of the benefits, blessings of Christians sharing the gospel on a regular basis is that our prayer life just grows and our love for the lost expands. Another one is that we have a good foundation for working hard and suffering for Christ. I think I want to stop here. I want to stop here because there's some pastors here I don't want to rush into. So maybe hold on to this for next Sunday, or then we will gather again as we look at this. But let's stop there. But add to this list, maybe this week, not that you need homework, right? Who needs more work to do? But if you wanted to take this a step further, what are some benefits that we see, maybe besides this list, in sharing the gospel? How does it impact our life? How does it encourage us as Christians? How does it build us up? But I hope that as we even think of this, why go through all these reasons? We could have all these reasons, and okay, that's great. Yeah, that all sounds good. And if we don't go share the gospel, it was a waste of our time. Let us be compelled by these biblical reasons that we see in the text, and there's probably many more. Let's go and share the good news. Let's pray for God to help us be equipped in sharing the gospel. If we're a little nervous about sharing, that's okay. Go and do it anyway. Or go with a friend who wants to share the gospel. Invite someone to come with you. And as you go and share the gospel, as you rehearse the gospel to one another and you share it with others, we're going to see God make Open Door Bible Church a spiritually healthy church more in line with what God has called the church to be living for his glory. Ben. As he talks about the crown of righteousness and that, yeah. Look it up. Okay, look up the exact one. We'll bring that for next. Let's keep that. So yeah, come with some other scriptures and passages that talk about other reasons why we share the gospel next week. And we'll maybe start here at the end, and we'll go into some other directions as well. All right, let's close in prayer, and then we will sing together. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the opportunity you give us as your church to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you will help us as we are ambassadors for Christ to be faithful in that calling. Father, it can be scary at times. It can be nervous at times. But thank you, as we saw tonight, that it's not our word we share, but it's yours. And it's a word that whoever will hear, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord, they can be saved. And I pray that you'd help us share the gospel not in our own power, but resting on Christ and depending upon his Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's sing hymn number 658. Let's stand together, and we'll sing Whosoever Will.